Today's sermon is separation from worldliness. Can we say that together? Separation from worldliness. Amen. I just want to reassure you, anytime you receive the word of God, no matter the part, no matter the title, that word, yeah, has the ability to bless you. Anything God says to you, yeah, is a blessing. Hallelujah. Anything that God says to you is what? It's a blessing. It's not only the promises of God that are a blessing to you. The instructions of God are also what? A blessing to you. They will lead you on the right path. Hallelujah. And they will preserve you from the wrong path. Anything that preserves you from the wrong path is a blessing. Hallelujah. So just keep that in mind as we go through this sermon. You know, it'll be a teaching, so it will be interactive. We'll learn together. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18. Yes, who has it? The title of today's sermon again is Separation from Worldliness. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. Please listen as we read from the King James Version.
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness, and what concord have Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Okay, let's have another version. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from this side now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18. Yes, NLT, go for it.
Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourself from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. So what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion? These are deep words. Fellowship is a deep word. Yeah? Communion is a deep word. What communion has light with darkness? Yeah? What agreement has Christ with what? Belial. Yeah? Hallelujah. And Bible says that we are to come out and be separate. Now remember, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. This is the key there. You are in the world. It's an important information there, because there's a reason why you are in the world. Why are you in the world? Someone remind me, why are you in this world? You got born again. Yeah? Anyone here who is born again? Wave to me. Okay, anybody here who is on their way to heaven? Wave to me. So what are you still doing here? Amen? Why are you still here? You're on your way to heaven. Why are you still here? Anybody help me with an answer? You're on your way to heaven. If you're not on your way to heaven, don't give me an answer. You know, I understand. But if you're on your way to heaven, why? What are you still doing here? Yeah, somebody help me. Sorry?
I still have some people to convert.
Okay, that's good. More?
Save the souls.
More? Anybody want to say it in a... It's a good... They are all correct answers. I'm just looking for you. Anyone want to say it in a different way? Why are you still here?
God has a plan for us of things to do still.
Amen. You are here because God has a plan for your life. And the reason why you are here is to fulfill that plan. Yeah? And that's a simple answer. But the question is, what is the plan? It's the same plan from the beginning. He said, let us make man in our own image. And after our own likeness. But when you read your Bible, the Bible tells you that God is a spirit. Hallelujah. So, it's not your physical form that is God's image. Hello? It's not your physical form that is God's image. Because after all, if you compare yourself as a human being, there are some animals that have two hands and 2 feet and stand on their feet. Okay, they don't really operate like man, but there are some similarities. Yeah? Hello? So the apes, for example, they are not made in God's image. You get it? So it's not a physical form we're looking at. God is a spirit. John chapter 4. God is what? A spirit. And those who worship him must what? Worship him. In what? In spirit and in truth. So when you're made in God's image, it means you're a spirit. But that's not where I'm going. What I'm trying to communicate with you is that God sits on his throne. The Father is the one who sits on the throne. Hallelujah. However, although God is sitting on his throne, it's still his presence. He's omnipresent. His presence is all true. All true. It's everywhere. God's presence is everywhere. Even in hell. God's goodness is not in hell, but his presence is there. Because he's omnipresent. Hallelujah. Are you with me? God is everywhere. However, why did he make you as a human being? He made you to represent him on earth. Hallelujah. He made you to be an agent of his righteousness. Someone say righteousness. There's only one person that is righteous. Yeah? And that's God. But in another sense, we are righteous because we are in him. We are sharing in his righteousness. Are you with me? Outside of God, you are not righteous. Amen? It is in communion and in fellowship and in intimacy with God that we have righteousness. If you break that fellowship, you lose that righteousness. Hallelujah? The righteousness you have is not static, it's dynamic. Hallelujah? And that's why God has left you here. He left you here so that you can be an agent of his righteousness. And I just want to remind you of our operating principles during this sermon in honor of Jesus. No other app on your phone except on Bible app and Notes app. And once in a while, Google. That's the contract you have with God while you are seated here. Amen? So you are an agent of righteousness. We should say, I am an agent of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, now you are what? Ambassadors for Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why you're here. You're an agent of righteousness. What is righteousness? Anybody define righteousness for me? What's righteousness? Give me a full, don't give me a half-baked definition. Because I don't like a half-baked cake. Give me a full-baked definition of righteousness. Yes, we can go for it. What is righteousness? Come on, help me. What is righteousness?
Right standing with God.
Right standing with God, that's half baked. I want full baked. It's correct? It's correct, but it's just, I'm bold enough to tell you that it's half baked. It's the beginning of the baking. We just must complete it now. Yes? Right standing with God. Yes? Have the answer. And what? I've taught you before, so you should know what is righteousness. Come and help me, church. Right standing is correct. It's just not the full load. Come on. Somebody help me. Somebody who has been under that teaching before. What is righteousness? It's right standing, but what is the second part of the bake?
Having received justification from God and access to stand in His presence.
Yes, that's the right standing. Amen. You see, your justification, yeah, is part of righteousness. Amen. It's your standing. Yeah. Justification is what happens in your spirit. Hallelujah. That happens because you came to Christ. You repented of your sins and you trusted in His sacrifice. So the blood of Jesus came, washed you clean. Hallelujah. You were accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. You, God gave His Holy Spirit. You were justified, made right with God. Hallelujah. That's happening to you spiritually. But it's not the end of your journey. It's the start. Yes? Did I see a hand? What is righteousness? Right standing and
acting holy.
And right living. Let me explain that to you in a way that you get it, so you get the full bake. Righteousness is right standing that leads to right living. The purpose of right standing is right living. Hello? Right standing that doesn't lead to right living is useless. Hello? Right standing is an empowerment for right living. Let me just say it another way. Your relationship with God translates into your representing God on the earth. Through your relationship with God, you can produce the works of God. Are you with me? If I have a relationship with God and I'm not producing the works of God, something is missing. Amen? It's like you have all the ingredients of cake in your house, but no cake. Every time I knock, hoping for cake, I bought you all the ingredients. I bought you what? All the ingredients, but no cake. I even bought you a cake machine. So what's the value of all the ingredients? Amen? Your right standing with God, yeah? The purpose is to produce what? Right living. And let me explain to you right living so you understand. Right living is not just keeping away from sin. Right living is doing the will of the Father. Right living is producing the works of Christ. Right living is being an agent, yeah? Of the kingdom in the world. That is your calling. Say, I'm called to be an agent of the kingdom in this world. See, if you don't know your purpose, we can't even begin to explain to you what worldliness is. Because you don't even understand your purpose. You're an agent of the kingdom. The day you got born again, yeah, you were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus. Hallelujah. And God has now left you in this world as His agent. An agent of righteousness. I'm here to commit righteousness. My business every day is to go about committing what? Righteousness. That's who you are. That's who you are. Say, I'm here in this world to commit righteousness. Hallelujah. The Bible said, Jesus said, you have loved righteousness and you have hated iniquity. Therefore, God has exalted you with all of gladness above your fellows. Hallelujah. So now let me ask my next question. What is worldliness? We've defined righteousness now. So let's define what? Worldliness. Come on, help me. What is worldliness?
Living in the flesh and doing what pleases the flesh.
Living in the flesh and doing what pleases the flesh. Yes, more. It's a good one. More. What is worldliness? Let me give you a clue. Worldliness is something you need to separate yourself from. Because it says, come out and be what? Separate. What is worldliness? And what is wrong with worldliness? Let's just define it first. What is worldliness?
It's the same way like right standing is righteousness having right standing with God. The same way the worldliness is, it causes you to be separate from God. So it pushes towards separation from God.
Worldliness is something that tends to pull you away from God or tends to corrupt, yeah, your intimacy with God. Yeah? It has a corrupting influence. It has a distracting influence. Yeah? The goal of worldliness is to diminish your righteousness. Hello? I'm righteous, I'm righteous. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is true. Yeah? But it's a position, it's dynamic. Your righteousness is in Him. Hallelujah? Your righteousness is serviced by your intimacy with Him. Hallelujah? When you begin to disconnect from that intimacy, you are walking away from righteousness. That's why He leads you in the paths of what? Righteousness. For His name's sake. So what happens when He's leading you in that path and you refuse to cooperate? Are you walking in righteousness? No. Hallelujah. So worldliness tends to pull you away or distract you or diminish, yeah, or corrupt your intimacy with God. Yes, more answers. What is worldliness? Come and help me. Okay, go for it.
Godless, sinning, and scorning God.
Amen. Let's open to Psalm 1 was one of my references, so let's open there. Psalm 1. Someone who has not read today. Psalm 1. You know, that's the beauty of meditation. So when you come, that's why I say you need to come to church. Please turn to your neighbor's smile and then say you need to be in church. As often as possible. The closest you get to heaven on earth is the church. Because that's where you find the people of God. If you don't like church, you can't like heaven. Because church is the foretaste of what we will do in heaven. In the church, you will hear the word of God. Hallelujah. Whether you like it or not, when you're in church, it's a genuine church. If you go to a church and you spend there 2 hours, you had fun, you felt good, but you had no word of God, that's not a genuine church. And you are being foolish to continue like that. You have to take responsibility for your own spiritual life. Hallelujah. You have, if all they are feeding you every day is ice cream, and you are not wise enough to know that this is not good for you, yeah? Then you are just being plain foolish. Bible says that the wise man built his house on the rock, and that rock is the word of God. But the foolish man, what did he do? He built on his hand. But you know the funny thing, they both built. Hallelujah. But the difference between wisdom and foolishness is what you are building on. So when you come to your church, you will hear the word of God. And what the word of God does is that the word of God is good food for your spirit. And the word of God restores your soul. You see, worldliness corrupts your soul. Worldliness does what? It corrupts your soul. But the word of God, yeah, it cleanses your soul from worldliness. So that's why it's called restoration. Yeah? Hallelujah. It's like you have a beautiful, nice summer dress. Anybody have a beautiful, nice summer dress? I'm talking to my sisters. Anybody has a beautiful, nice summer dress? For next week. Okay? And then, you know, you're planning for it and then you bring it out and you find that it's full of, you know, stains. What are you going to do? You're going to wash it. Yeah? So that it's restored back to its beauty. That's what the word of God does. It restores your soul. Amen? Psalm 1. Let's read Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. A young person. Yes, where are young people? Yes, of course. I come to you. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night.
Amen. Worldliness, yeah, is walking in the path of what? The ungodly. Or what? Standing in the way of sinners. Or what? Sitting in the seat of what? It's comfortable. Let me tell you the big difference between you and an unbeliever. Even the nicest unbeliever. The big difference between, I want it to register in your spirit. You as a believer, you have regard for the word of God. The word of God is your moral compass. The unbeliever has no regard for the word of God. Big difference. The word of God regulates your life. You defer to the word. You tune up yourself by the word, but the unbeliever does not. So even a good unbeliever who is well behaved can corrupt you. Because their life is not submitted to the word. Can you see that? I want you to see that big difference. So it means that the way they reason is different from the way you reason. It means that when you talk and chat and commune, yeah, they will sell for you what they, no, everybody talks what they believe. Everybody what? Everybody talks what they believe. If you chat, if you talk with someone for 1 hour, 2 hours, yeah? After that session, they sold you some of their beliefs. And you sold them some of yours. Sometimes it's even so bad because many times when you are talking with your unbeliever friends, many believers, you suspend talking about your Christian belief. You deliberately, intentionally choose not to talk about God. Amen? You choose. See, I'm talking about the unbeliever, so I'm not going to talk about God. So you suspended your right to influence them spiritually. But they don't suspend their right to influence you with their worldly belief system. Hallelujah. That's what I'm saying, that anytime you're having a conversation with an unbeliever, and with use some wisdom also, when an unbeliever sells you a lie, be careful to quickly sell them the truth. They won't leave a lie, yeah, unchallenged. So I'm talking to an unbeliever, I says, you know what? You know, I don't even believe there's any God anywhere. Don't let it pass. Smile. Love them. And say, I believe in God. I spoke to him this morning. Hallelujah. If you don't, you have let them not only influence. You say, oh, they didn't influence me. But you have lost an opportunity to influence them. Are you with me? The Bible says we should be wise as serpents, but harmless as do. Now, to understand that verse, you need to understand that one of the animal that represents Satan is what? The serpent. Two animals represent Satan in the Bible. The serpent and the dragon. But they are one and the same thing. Amen? The serpent and the dragon. By the way, the dragon is the old name for dinosaur. just so you know. Amen? So, but Bible says that we should be as wise as a serpent. What does that mean? It means that when you're in challenging situations and dealing with unbelievers, yeah, match them in their own smartness. Hallelujah. So, for example, says, you know, you cannot talk about God, no problem. But the day you mention God to me, I'll give you back straight. Because you started the conversation. Hallelujah. See, you cannot talk about religion, no problem. But the day you express a religious belief to me, I'll give you back. Hallelujah. I'm not going to harm you. We're just having a chat. Are you with me? So we should be wise, but at the same time, harmless. Yeah? Amen? Say, I'm not stupid. I'm just following Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm ready to be stupid in following Jesus, but I'm not stupid. I'm just following Jesus. Hallelujah. So you don't suspend your identity. Yeah? Because when you suspend your identity, you lost your purpose. Hallelujah. You have to live out. You're going to grow stronger as a believer when you live out your belief. Faith without corresponding actions is dead. Faith lives, yeah, when it finds expression. Love flourishes when it has expression. If you love, but there's no expression, that love will start going down. Hallelujah. In fact, I could dare tell you that faith is an action. And love is an action. Hallelujah. It's not just a feeling. The feeling comes after. You see, when you fall in love, it's the feeling. But a feeling will never sustain love forever. In fact, after a short time, your feelings you can feel the other way. When somebody has showed you their true colors. So what are you going to do now? You're going to love them by choice. You choose to love. The love of God, yeah, is an action. You choose. I will love you because I choose to love you. Amen? Why will I love you? Because I choose to love you. I choose to seek out your best interest all the time. Whether you like it or not. Amen? And then when you do that, the feeling will come later. Hallelujah. You will feel fulfilled later when you begin to reap the benefit of your right actions. Hallelujah. But there's a time where you will not feel like it. That's why to love, you need to live by faith. Hallelujah. It's by faith that you do the right thing. And you can't live by faith if you do not trust in God. If God is not in the picture, why will you persevere in doing the right thing when you could easily do the wrong thing and get away with it? Why will you persevere in loving someone when you could get even with them and feel good about it because they hurt you? Why? It's because of God. It's because you're keeping God in the picture. I trust God. So you say, I trust God. Therefore, I will do the right thing. Now let me tell you the secret. The secret is that the benefits will come later. And it will come. Hallelujah. And let me also say, if you do the wrong thing, the consequences will also come. But they don't necessarily come immediate. I have a feeling that if the consequences of your wrong actions came immediate, nobody will do the wrong thing. Because you know that the moment you are walking out of it, you are getting you are getting it. Yeah? Many people do the wrong thing in the hope that there will be no consequence. But they come. They just come later. Hallelujah. Say, I choose to trust God. Hallelujah. So worldliness, yeah, is a different belief system. It's a belief system based on the flesh. Somebody said that. It's a belief system based on feelings. It's a belief system based on what? Culture, what people do. Yeah? It's a belief system based on selfish ambition. It's a belief system based on fame. You know, so there are sometimes that people do the wrong thing because they are famous. I want to tell you something, that fame is very dangerous. Somebody tell me, what is dangerous about pursuing fame or being famous? Come and help me. So I want to be famous. I want to be the most famous musician of the century. What's the problem with that? Wait. Let me just chip in. Like, the devil came to Jesus and said, you know what? Just jump from the top of the temple. Am I right?
Yeah.
Why will he jump? Tell me, what do you gain from jumping from the top of the temple? It's fame. Because his angels will catch you. So what was the gain? If you jump and angels catch you, what's the gain? People are going to be like, oh, do you see that? This gun. What's the danger? What's the problem with being famous? What is the entrapment?
One of it is the overinflated self.
Ah! Your ego. When you're famous, your ego will be well massaged. You feel good about yourself. I'm telling you, this is a real feeling. You feel good. Yeah? In the worship of yourself. Continue. You have anything more to say? Just that's enough. I can take one more.
Apart from the ego being massaged, also there is a tendency to feel above the law, both morally and
yes. When fame comes in, your moral inhibitions reduce. Yeah? You throw away your moral values in the heat of the moment because you are enjoying the worship of yourself. Are you with me? So, being famous can lead you into sin. Because you're no longer thinking clearly. You are playing to the gallery. Can you imagine that, you know, you have a footballer and they pass him the ball to score. You know, it's just him and the goalkeeper, and it's, you know, a long way. All he has to do is run and net it. And then he looks up, look at the whole stadium. Wow, you know. I'm going to feel very good today. He's thinking about how we celebrate the goal. Until, as he's fumbling with the ball, a player runs off from his back and takes over. That's what fame can do. It just distracts you. Yeah? To play into the gallery. And you miss the purpose. You can lose the purpose of your life. Yeah? In the name of fame. I saw a hand. Was there a hand? Yes.
And just carrying on from the worldliness aspect, you bear a bigger responsibility and accountability because you can negatively influence a lot of people.
Yes. You see, influence can be positive or negative. You know, I want you to sit down a moment and ask yourself a question, because I told you your purpose from the Bible. Let me just remind you, then I'll ask you this question. You are created in God's image. You know what I mean? That means that God is depending on you to represent Him well on the earth. You are supposed to spread God's influence anywhere you go. That's what it means to be in God's image. Are you with me? But I want you to sit and ask yourself, just reflect on the last 10 years of your life and ask yourself, who have I influenced or who am I influencing for righteousness? Just have a short reflection. Think about yourself. This is personal. Don't think about your sister or your friend. Think about yourself. Who am I? Who have I, in the last 10 years of my life, who have I influenced for righteousness? Who have I influenced for the kingdom of God? Have I been a positive influence or a negative influence? It doesn't matter if you are young or old. In your school, who have you influenced for righteousness? Who have you drawn towards God or towards the kingdom of God? Who have you helped to become a more serious Christian? Or who have you pulled back? It can be negative. We're talking about separation from worldliness. Yes, I say hand.
You may want to do anything to stay in that fame at all costs.
Yes! Yes! Fame is deceptive. It's very deceptive. You may want to do everything. Yeah? Including corruption. Just to maintain your fame. Fame, yeah, can make you live like an hypocrite. Yeah? You can live a lie just to protect your reputation. Yeah? You are giving out an impression of who you are not so that you can maintain your good looks or good views in front of people. Don't even tell me about getting fans on Twitter or on Instagram. It's still a form of fame too that is deceptive. Hallelujah. 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 Say, I refuse to pursue fame. And I was careful in saying that. I didn't tell you to say I refuse to be famous. Yeah? But I refuse to pursue it. Hallelujah. When you're not pursuing it, if God gives you, God retains his place in the picture. You see, when you get fame from God, God tells you overnight to drop it, you will drop it. Hello? There's a man of God, a preacher. Yeah? He's a Nigerian preacher. He spent almost like 10 years in the oil company, rising the ranks. And he gets to the very point where he just won't exam away from being a director or a manager. Means it's like that's where the real money comes in. You know, where they call the shots. And God tells him, it's time to resign. And go and do full-time ministry. If you are pursuing fame and money, you will never resign. Say, God, I'm sorry. I know that I love you. I know that I'm righteous. But this one, sorry. We must find a way to do it another way. Hallelujah. You can't trust God. Someone said, I trust God. You can't trust God because you are trusting that other thing. See, is there anything you can't drop, yeah, for God? That's where your trust is. Hallelujah. But if you trust God, we're talking about Abraham. Abraham, the man we're talking about having a ham in his house and going to fight and overcome four kings. Yeah? You don't know where his journey started from. Yeah? He had a nation, he had a family, and God said, leave them and go to where I'm going to show you. Means that he left everything. We're talking about Abraham's blessings are mine. But do you know about Abraham's journey? You don't claim Abraham's journey, but you claim his blessings. Hallelujah. But the way also leads to the blessing. When you choose to honor God, he will honor you. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich and he has no sorrow. Let me explain that part to you. It means that when God blesses you, and because you are following God, it's a journey. And I never preach to you that you're going to be rich overnight. That deal is not in God's book, but it's in the devil's book. Because the devil said, Jesus, if you can just bow to me, I will make you rich what? Overnight. It's in the book, that's the rule book of the devil, but it's not in the rule book of God. You see, if you want to be rich with God, it's a process. Yeah? And a key part of that process is trusting God. The reason being that if you are rich, and without having been trained in trusting God, those riches can destroy you. They will take you away from God. Because it is very easy to trust in your riches. Hallelujah. When you have everything you need and everything you want, what are you looking for? He said, I better come to church. He said, I'm okay. I don't need church. Hallelujah. Because riches have a tendency for you to make you trust in them. You will look down on other people because you feel that you are much better. Why can't you talk to me like that? Does she know who I am? What you're really saying that does she know how much money I have in my bank account? Hallelujah. So God takes you to a journey to trust Him before He gives you the true riches. So that the riches can never separate you from Him. Hallelujah. That's what God wants. The resources you need for your life is not the biggest problem for God. He created the whole world. But your faith in Him, your ability to trust Him, your ability to obey Him, yeah? Your whole eternity is hanging on that. If you can't learn to trust and obey God, you can miss heaven. Because the whole journey to heaven is a journey of faith. And without faith, is what? It's impossible to please God. And I want to tell you something. Do you think that somebody who is displeasing God will get to heaven? I mean, just follow your logic. Someone live their whole life displeasing God, then they will spend the rest of their life with Him. It's impossible. So if I'm going to please God, I need to be able to trust God. Hallelujah. And if I am trusting God, it means that I will be able to obey Him. No matter how much I say I trust God, if I cannot obey what God is telling me, I don't what? Trust God. So God He wants to deepen your faith in Him, your trust in Him, so that when He gives you fame or riches, you can use it for His glory. Amen? You will not take ownership of it. And say, I'm rich, I'm famous. Hallelujah. No. Even in your riches and fame, you will recognize that it's God. And you recognize that, actually, all that I have belongs to Him. Do you see? You recognize that. Some say, I'm famous, so I don't have time for church. You've missed it. Hallelujah. You don't understand that fame, yeah? All that you have, yeah, belongs to God. It would be better for you to suspend it all and have time for God. Let every other thing come after. Hallelujah. See, when you have been trained in the way of God, there's even with your fame and your riches, there are some things you will not do. Say, I can't do that. He said, why? He said, because I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. I said, I'm not going. Say, they invite you. So there are some parties they will invite you. Say, I'm not going. Oh, but you're going to have fun. Say, my life is not all about fun. Amen? Now, remember, fun is good. But not all fun is good. Some fun will not glorify God. Hallelujah. You know why? Because think about the type of communion going on in your place of fun. What is being said? What is being done? Yeah? What is being practiced? Is it godliness or worldliness? Is it something that glorifies God or something that dishonors God? James chapter 4 verse 4. Let's open. Let me see how we're doing with time. Okay. So, another 5 to 10 minutes. I'll try to round up there. James chapter 4 verse 4. James 4 verse 4. Let's have James 4 4. James 4 4. Separation from worldliness. Reason being that worldliness can corrupt you. So I'm actually telling you now that worldliness can destroy your spiritual life. Because Bible says that to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. James 4:4. Yes, who has it? James 4:4. Come on, church. James 4:4.
Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is an enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Amen. You know what is called spiritual adultery? It's to be unfaithful. Adultery is unfaithfulness. Yeah? When a believer is being worldly or practicing worldliness, it is called adultery. I mean, let's say this is how God sees it. God says, I'm a jealous God. You know that God is a jealous God? Have you ever read it? That God is a jealous God. Yeah? You know that God has the right to be jealous. He is your owner. He doesn't want to share you with an idol of any kind. Hallelujah. At all. At all. It's an insult to God. So, worthiness, meaning that, if there's no difference between you and an unbeliever, an unbeliever goes somewhere, and they jest coarsely and talk anyhow, they drink alcohol, they flirt, flirtatious dancing, yeah, you yourself, you are there with them, yeah, you are flirting. Even? You are what? Flirting. Spiritually. There's going to be a difference between a believer and an unbeliever. The unbeliever comes to you and they are chatting and they are talking about, you know, let's talk about young people now. Unbelievers are chatting and they are talking about, you know, girls or boys. But it's not the issue about talking about girls or boys, but they are talking dirty stuff, immoral stuff, yeah? Immoral jokes, yeah? Ungodly jokes. And you are just smiling. You know, you didn't contribute. Well, what all you did was what? I'm not talking to you. Yeah? Your part is worthiness. Because your light is not shining. Your light is constrained under. Not only are you not influencing them, you are being influenced. What you need to do in that is separate yourself and say no, no, no. What did I say? No, no, no. So we're going to have many opportunities to drink. Say, I don't drink. Say it. Don't say it later. Say it ahead. To protect yourself from the evil day. Say it ahead. Hallelujah. Say it ahead. It's part of your testimony. Hallelujah. It's part of your testimony. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. The reason is that we are not representing Him. Instead, we are actually betraying Him. We are denying Him. Yeah? There's no Christian witness. Yeah? No Christian witness. So God is looking for opportunities to be glorified in your life. Hallelujah. Every time you represent God, God is smiling. He's happy. Amen? They may persecute you sometimes. It's okay. You know, have you ever read your Bible? That God even is happy with your persecution. Let me explain that again. Why did God allow the disciples or the apostles to be persecuted? Why didn't He just rain down fire from heaven and consume all their persecutors? Why? Why doesn't the Bible promise and say, you know what? Once you come to Christ and you live godly, you will not be persecuted. If anybody persecutes you, I will kill them. Have you read that in your Bible? No. Why? I'll give you the answer. Let someone respond back to me. And then we'll... Yes? Give me the answer back to me. Why does God allow you to be persecuted for righteousness' sake? Have you read in your Bible, Matthew 5? It said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why? Oh. I've quoted what you're going to say. Okay. Any other answer? Why does God allow believers to be persecuted when you're doing the right thing or standing for what is right? Why don't He just protect you from all persecution? Give you a supreme fly swatter and anybody that persecutes you, just zap them. Why?
I think it's because the persecution, if you are being persecuted, is for the glory of God.
Yes.
And you're doing it for Christ.
Yes. If you are living a godly life, yeah, expect that people will persecute you. But the Father allows it because you know why He allows it? You are representing Him well. Say, that's my son. That's my daughter. The persecution is a test of your faith. And now I'm teaching you faith in a different way. Faith is not just, I believe God for rice and bread and chicken. That's faith, but that's not the deepest faith. The deepest faith is that I trust God with my life. And I will follow Him. Yeah? All the way. Hallelujah. I will follow Him through thick and thin. And I will fulfill His purpose for my life. I will do His will. Hallelujah. and I will promote his righteousness. Hallelujah. And I will endure even if I suffer for righteousness' sake. Amen. Remember, if you suffer, you're not going to suffer forever. Yeah? He will come through for you. He will reward you. He will make a way for you. Hallelujah. When God lifts you up, hallelujah, it is done in righteousness, without corruption. You are clean inside. You are clean outside. Hallelujah. So don't go flirting with the world. Don't try to be, don't try to match the unbeliever in everything they do. If you are trying to match the unbeliever in everything they do, you are equal to worldly. Your job is not to match the unbeliever. You want to match them in fashion? You want to match them in what? Give me examples. You want to match them in what? In your dance steps? No? What does he want to match them in? Match them in lifestyle, talking, like unbelievers are chatting and everybody's boasting about, what they've achieved. You too. You join me. That's what doing. Yeah? You are not to match them. You are to be light and to be what? Salt. And also you are to be separate. I wanted to teach you, I want to finish on another teaching that it is okay to say no. It is okay to walk away. It is okay to say, I'm not doing that. I'm not joining you. I know you were invited for the party. I know if all your friends are going. But you say, I'm not going. You say, why? Because there's going to be a lot of worldliness in that party. And I don't want to be a part of it. I will be separate. I want to assure you, I've done that for most of my life. And you're not going to die. Yeah? You're not going to what? Die. Some of those friends you are fighting for now, some of them you'll never meet them again. Yeah? Some of them, 10 years time, 20 years time, they are not in your life again. Hallelujah. So you're not going to corrupt yourself because of one person. Hallelujah. Rather than being corrupted, be an agent of righteousness. Speak the truth. Speak light. Speak life. Find somebody in your workplace that you can mentor for righteousness. That's your assignment. I know it can be difficult sometimes. Find somebody in your neighborhood that you can mentor for righteousness. Okay, maybe that's difficult. Find somebody in your school, in your class, that you can mentor for righteousness. If you cannot find, pray and say, God, give me somebody. Give me what? Somebody. Let me give one more. Find somebody in your family. I'm not talking about immediate because you live with them. But actually, let's include immediate. But I'm talking about extended. Your nephew, your nieces, your cousins. There must be somebody. Don't just be the big auntie that gives out money. That's not righteousness. It's culture and tradition. I'll collect it if you give me. But I don't want you to understand. That's not righteousness. What is it? Culture. But that Greg is looking at me. You don't understand. It's African culture. Now, if you have your, if you have your nephews and nieces good visit you, you just give them some money. Yeah. Unbelievers do it. You get it? So it's not right. That's not the righteousness we're talking about. Yeah. Mentor them in the way of the Lord. Yeah. Give them the word of God. Give them the truth. Yeah. Follow it up. Yeah. Ask them about it. Ask them how they are doing. Ask them if they are going to church. Ask them if they are reading their Bible. Some of you never did that. You kept giving them money. 15 years, all you did was give them money. You never, never, ever invested to mentor them spiritually in any way. Yes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Pastor, because what I've even tried to share with my father, who I think has a misunderstanding about being a Christian and family members, is when we see such so-called holidays or cultural traditions such as Halloween, I say to them, it's absolutely satanic. And if you adorn your children with witches' hats and such decorations, so-called, you're opening a portal. And very, very few people, even of the world, understand the consequences of that.
Let's rise up. That's a good example of what I'm saying. Your confession matters. You can't just keep quiet. You speak. The light will not shine if it's hidden under his basket. Yeah? Stepping out and speaking, yeah, is part of putting your lamp on a lamp stand. Hallelujah? You have to. A lamp never goes on a lamp stand without somebody stepping out. You step out, put it on a lamp stand. You say, declare what you believe. Hallelujah? Speak into somebody's life. Speak into somebody's situation. Say no. Say no. No is a powerful word. Say no. No. Some Christians will just join in and blend in. Yeah? You'll be eating your cake while the others are doing at the Halloween. No. 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 Say no. And I'm not going to eat your cake. Because I don't do Halloween. Amen? Talk to God. Talk to God. I hope God has spoken to you today. Separation from worldliness. Another way of saying that is, let your light shine. You know, another way of saying that is walk in the light. Another way of saying that is be separate. Come out, you know, from worldliness and be a true representative of light. There's power in that. As you do that, you begin to see the power of God work more in your life because that power is free from corruption. What corruption does is that it weakens you spiritually. Corruption always weakens you spiritually. But when you stand firm in the light, when you stand for light, for truth, for righteousness, for the word of God, when you say no to worldliness and no to Satan, yeah, your spiritual life will blossom, it will flourish. And God will not only be pleased, he will manifest himself more through you. Hallelujah. Righteousness is right standing that empowers you for right living. Pray and say, Lord, help me to walk in righteousness, to be separate from worldliness. Lord, to represent you well in my home, in my family, in my workplace, in my neighborhood, in my school, everywhere I am. I want to represent. That's the purpose of my life. To represent you. I'm made in your image so that I can be an expression of who you are everywhere I go. And I receive grace to do that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Say,